Speaking the Truth in Love is the title of our sermon today. You know, a few weeks ago, when we learned that George Head, our pastor, had heart surgery, the elders and the deacons, the leaders of the church, gathered to pray. And as we were praying, we had not yet heard how the outcome of the surgery was going. It was after the prayer that we heard the good news that everything went well, and the prayers that we made to ask the Lord to return George to this church, believing that he was sent here by God, were being answered. One of the leaders in the church spoke of grace. He said, "We need to know that this is God's grace." And the scripture that came to mind was, "The Lord became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Eugene Peterson in The Message says, "The Lord became flesh and dwelt among us. He moved into our neighborhoods, full of grace and truth." And so when I was asked that evening if I would fill the pulpit for 2 weeks, I thought, I've got it. Thank you, Lord. We will speak of truth and grace in referring to the scriptures. And that is what we're doing today. Being home with Rod recovering from heart surgery, I watched and enjoyed more baseball than I have for many years. We watched not only the big leagues, but we watched the little leagues, which were just fascinating. I don't know if many of you have seen them. Those little boys just pour their hearts into what they're doing. But we also listen to a lot of news. My husband goes from one news station to another, listening to news. And friends, I did not hear truth spoken in love at all. I really became somewhat discouraged. Speaking the truth in love, I think, is one of the most challenging tasks we have as Christians. We're called to follow the way of Jesus in relationship with God, but also in relationship to one another. I'm thankful that we don't have to be perfect, because if we were, I certainly would fail. But we need to be encouraged, and that's what Paul's letter to the Ephesians was. It was not only to the church in Ephesus, but Ephesus was the center of the Christian churches, so it was passed around from church to church, as it is continually passed around to our church today. Speaking the truth in love is Paul's expectation, is probably the toughest one I have to follow. I think it's even tougher than following the Ten Commandments. As a wife, as a parent, as a boss at work, as a pastor, a citizen in this country, for a matter of fact, virtually in every area of my life, I struggle all the time. What does it mean to speak the truth in love? It's not easy to speak the truth in love in any of those areas. That's what we're talking about this morning. And we're going to look at the passage that Paul had made in Ephesus, the one that we read this morning. I don't know how much you know about Presbyterian history, but the fact is Presbyterians have not had a good track when it comes to speaking the truth in love. To be sure, we used to have people who were more than willing to speak the truth. Through the years in this country, Presbyterians were often the strongest voices of truth. At the same time, they really spoke in love as they spoke. Those early Presbyterian leaders were stern, harsh men who spoke the truth, but rarely was it in love. About 20 or 30 years ago, the pendulum took a swing to the other side. And I'm afraid the church did too. For a matter of fact, we often speak in love and avoid the truth. At the risk of offending someone or hurting someone's feeling, we fail to stand up for what is true. At the risk of accepting everything, there is a risk of nothing to stand for. Accept everything, don't stand for anything. Well, there must be a middle ground. There must be a way for people of God to be who they're called to be the people who speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. I thought of plenty of examples of how we violate that expectation. I thought about the danger of passing on gossip. What is said is 100% accurate, but passing that juicy bit is hardly an act of love. I thought about the times that we're absolutely confident that what we are speaking is the truth, so confident that we're willing to beat up on someone else with our truth. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and we don't want to avoid conflict. How many times in marriage do people avoid saying what really needs to be said because they know they'll have to deal with the issue? Instead, we let it fester and bubble up until eventually it blows up like a volcano. There are things that my husband can say to me that no one else can. And I know that because when he says those things, he speaks it in love and he wants what's best to me. Sometimes we become like a moral jello. We avoid speaking the truth because we don't want to stand out. We may go ahead and have another drink, even though we know we've had enough, because we don't want to create a scene or be seen as not really enjoying the party. We attempt to speak our truth, but without love, and lots of ways at least we try to be loving, but without much truth. I think that is the problem of today. We're so concerned about loving and being accepted that we hold back from speaking the truth. And as for myself, I know this resonates in my mind and something will upset me or something will be said and I want to say something and I can't think of a way to speak it in love, so I remain silent. And I pray, Lord, help me to speak that word in love so that it can be heard. I spent a lot of time reading and thinking about it, mulling over it in my mind, and I confess I wasn't getting very far until late one night, like a bolt of lightning, I realized, Bev, go back to the text. See what the text has to say. After all, I'm not a social scientist, nor a counselor, nor an expert in interpersonal relationships. I am a Bible student, a chaplain and a preacher, a Christian, and it seems pretty clear. Go back to the text and see what God has to say through his word. So I did this, and I made several observations. Three, like a good sermon, 3 points. In the very first passage in Ephesians 1, it says, if I'm going to speak the truth in love, I need to begin by getting my life in order. Therefore, Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Well, what does that mean? For Paul, it's clear God created us to be in relationship with Christ. The calling to which we have been called, the calling to which we are to be worthy, is to live with Christ in relationship. Let's be clear from the start. Jesus is the very embodiment of truth. If we're going to be a people who speak the truth, then we will be a people who speak of and point to Jesus in both word and action. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. To speak the truth is to know the truth. It's to know and to speak of Jesus. Go back and read the Gospels, and you'll discover that Jesus was concerned about truth, about moral purity. But be sure he also was concerned about greed, materialism, feeding the hungry, finding shelter for the homeless. Do you remember when the question was, what would Jesus do? We had bracelets we wore, and they said WWJD. How many of you wore those bracelets or had something? Many of us did. We could now wear bracelets that would say WWJS. What would Jesus say? When we get our life in order by spending God time with Jesus, we begin the journey of speaking the truth in love. There's a second thing I learned in studying this text. I discovered that when we must speak with humility. We are to follow the calling of Jesus, Paul says, with all humility and gentleness. I hope I can find the words to communicate this. Here's the point. Jesus himself is the very embodiment of truth, and all of the truth in the world is but a reflection of the one who is himself truth. When you and I speak on issues or proclaim what we believe to be the truth, let's remember what we are saying is a reflection of the one who himself is the embodiment of truth. Am I reflecting Jesus Christ in what I say and the way in which I say it? At times, that reflection is brilliant and clear, like the reflection in a well-polished mirror, or like the reflection I saw on the beach as the sun was rising and the buildings in the back reflected in the pond of clear water, or the birds that were walking on the beach and it looked like they were standing on top of each other. It was amazing. And I took lots of pictures of them because I'm trying to learn how to take good pictures. And Rod said to me, "Come on, Bev, we're out here to go for a walk." But it is amazing. That's what we are to do, reflect the love of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, in the way in which we communicate with one another. There are other times when the reflection of Jesus is much dimmer. As Paul wrote in Corinthians, "Now I see in a mirror dimly." There are times when I'm not so sure of the clarity of the truth. Yet always, when I speak the truth, I need to do so with humility. Because even when the reflection is at its clearest, even when I feel the strongest about my understanding of truth, I must speak it with humility and with gentleness. Speaking with humility, because as clear as we may think we see the truth, and as strong as we may be in our conviction, the truth we speak is a reflection of the embodiment of the one who is the truth. The truth of which we are speaking is understood through the filters of our own culture, of our brokenness, and our own sin. The fact is, we are not God. We seek to reflect God's light, but we are not God. When it's clear, may we have the conviction and the strength to speak the truth with conviction and with humility. I learned one more thing. In fact, I think this is the key to the text. To speak the truth in love is by definition to speak within a relationship that is characterized by commitment and love. This passage is about community and all about relationships. Bearing with one another, Paul says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. He writes, he speaks of growing up in every way as the body, joined and knit together by every ligament which it is equipped. The text is obsessed with community and relationships. If we are to speak the truth in love, it must be with a relationship in which people say to one another, "I'm here for you. I'm not going anywhere." Otherwise, it's not love. If we're reading this passage looking for a license to zing people with the truth that we believe, or we're looking for permission to say hurtful things to people because we're convinced they need to know what we think they need to know, we won't find that instruction in this text. This passage is all about people who are committed to each other. People who are in relationship of trust and commitment. People who, within that context, know they want what is best for each other. To speak the truth in love is to speak in the context of a committed community and faithful relationship. Otherwise, it's not love. I hear the passage as an invitation to know the one who is the embodiment of truth, to know Jesus, and to also hear the invitation to build relationships and community based on love, where people know and trust that we are looking out for each other and we want what's best, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor, a stranger, members and friends of the church. They need to know that we're looking out for their best and that we'll be there for them. As I said, my husband can sometimes say things to me that are tough words to hear, challenging words. And I can hear them because I know that he is speaking the truth in the context of a relationship in which I know he wants what is best for me and for our family. To put it bluntly, he can say things to me that no one else can say. And at the same time, I can say things to him that I don't want any of you to hear. This is true in other areas of life. Parents, grandparents, you know discipline is received best when there is already a relationship of love and trust. Those tough words at work are best spoken when people already have developed trusting relationships. I hear an invitation to build relationships of trust, so when those relationships come to tough times, we can speak the truth. We can provide discipline for our children, and they know we're not going to leave them, and we hope and pray in their lack of maturity, let's say, that they won't leave us, that they will stay with us. There's a story about an old Scotchman who was lying dying in his bed, and his son came to visit him, and he asked him if he wanted him to read scripture to him. "No, my son," the old man said, "save your breath. I thatched my roof when the sun was shining. I took care of that problem before they arose." I hear this passage a call to build loving relationships, committed relationships now, when things are going well, so that when the context comes, those relationships, we will be able to say the tough things to one another. Take care of it now, and we can then speak the truth in love when the time comes. There's one more corollary to this passage that I want to share, and that is community is a two-way street. When you and I build a relationship of trust and commitment, it gives us the freedom to speak the truth in love. However, it also gives us the freedom to receive the truth in love. It gives the other person the freedom to speak their truth in love, and it becomes incumbent upon us to be able to hear it, to think about it, to pray about it. A friend of mine who is a Presbyterian executive up in North Carolina once said, "It's always easier to believe God changes somebody else's mind than to believe that God can change my mind." If you know Presbyterian polity and how the session and the government of the Presbyterian Church works, you'll know that that is true. It is much easier to believe that God will change somebody else's mind than to believe that God can change my mind. Speaking the truth in love is tough enough. Hearing the truth spoken to us can be even tougher. This is the great challenge Paul offers us in this passage for parents, for marriages, for friendships, in the church, and in our community. It's not easy to speak the truth in love. And I can't offer a simplistic formula, but you can read these texts and hear these words of guidance. One, speak the truth in love. We must first and foremost speak of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And if we are to speak it, it will come from our relationship and our walk with Christ. Secondly, when we speak with humility and with gentleness. The truth we speak is a reflection of Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. May we learn to speak the truth with clarity and humility. And finally, speak the truth in the context of a community of commitment in which we can both speak and hear the truth. May God bless this message to our lives and our relationships with Christ and with one another. Amen.